This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on the show today. Opening half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 at Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. That guarantee happens because they go over every vehicle. It is all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So I receive a notification here. From CBS Sports. Our experts pick the Missouri Classic. Who cares? You gotta be kidding me, really?
It's like, why are you so concerned about the Zurich Classic?
I mean, like, I'm glad your experts picked it. You're educated guessers. I always love that. He's an expert. You are an educated guesser.
Is it that hard to see if Scotty Scheffler's playing and then pick him?
Yeah, pretty much. It's about what it comes down to. It's like, yeah. It's where an expert gets out of hand a little bit. He's an expert. Like, nah, you're really kind of an educated guesser. All right. Well, Matt will be on at 1:45. Oh, that should be an adventure after last night, which we'll get to in a moment. And then Neil Coulong, and then Todd Zielecki today, right?
Correct, 2:35.
Yeah, sounds good. Talk a little bit about everything that's going on with him. So let's get to the Sixers game last night.
Do we have to?
Well, for entertainment purposes, yes. Look. Is Tyrese Maxey grabbed on the inbounds play? Yes. Okay? Yes. There's no question about it. Now, could the Sixers have challenged it? Nope, because they kept using their challenges to make sure Kyle Lowry didn't foul out, right? They used one, won it, then the next one. They didn't win it, and he still got his fifth foul. Okay. All right. So you sit there and you look at the end of the game. And, you know, I guess Nick Nurse claims he's trying to call timeout. He's just kind of like standing there. Okay, you know when you call timeout, Todd? The second the ball from Brunson goes in the basket, now you call timeout. Right? Call timeout there. Right? Because guess what you do when you call a timeout in the NBA?
Goes to half court.
Even further.
Three quarters court?
Yeah.
Ah.
Okay. Now, instead of having a 50 foot wide area to throw the ball in, you have a 94-foot wide area to throw the ball in. And, you know, he's furious about the fact that they didn't accept his timeout call. Okay. Which I understand that. But when the ball goes through the basket, that's when you call timeout.
I saw somebody make the point that there was a lot of veterans out on the court at that time for the Sixers, too. They wondered why one of the players didn't call it a timeout either.
Okay, do you want an honest answer?
Sure.
I'll give you an honest answer, and I've felt this for a long time, like the last 3 or 4 years about this team. They're not a smart basketball team. Yeah. Right? I've thought that for a long time. They are not a smart basketball team, which means they don't have guys out there that have a great feel for the game. I mean, you can talk about Embiid's, you know, is Embiid a great player? Yes. Does he have a great feel for the game? No. Maxey does not have a great feel for the game. Harris doesn't have a great feel. They just have a bunch of guys that just don't have a great feel for the game. And the bottom line is, as the coach who has won a championship, everybody is sitting there and they are talking about how Nick Nurse tried to call a timeout when Maxey was in trouble. You call the timeout when the shot by Brunson goes through the basket and you advance the ball.
That inbounds play, I was going to say, that inbounds play was trouble before they even inbounded. It wasn't looking good at the start.
Right. Now, Nurse does say that he tried to call a timeout before Lowry inbounded the ball. Well, why isn't Lowry calling the timeout? He's been around the block. He's won a championship. What the heck were they thinking? I mean, at minimum, you're throwing the ball in at that end of the floor, not under your own basket.
That in the past took him to the sidelines, too.
Yeah. But you're inbounding at the other end. And if you get the ball in successfully, you're probably going to get fouled, which means now you're further away from the other end of the basket. I don't get it. This is one of those you just walk out on the court and go, boom, we want one right now. And you set up a play, you advance the ball. That's why you'll see teams winning games in the NBA. They'll call timeout and advance the ball. They want it at that end of the floor. Now, I'll say this. Nick Nurse has made, and excuse the phraseology here, but a gamble that is not paying off for him to this point. But it's one that, if I'm in his spot, I make the same one. He is devoting extra bodies and a lot of energy throwing them at Jalen Brunson, right? Which is the right thing to do. He's the engine. And the idea has been to keep Josh Hart, right? He's out there shooting. He is open for a reason. He's open for a reason. He is a 31% three-point shooter during the regular season. So they're taking his guy and they're running them at Brunson, trying to disrupt him. And Brunson has not really played well in the first two games at all. That part's worked. The part that's been the killer is that in the gamble, you're open for a reason. He's made 8 threes in the two games. And now let's get to the execution part. You can whine, moan, and complain, which Joel Embiid did after the game. You can whine, moan, and complain about the officiating. But guess what, Joel? You picked the wrong guy to box out. Why aren't you boxing out Hartenstein? How come you're boxing out the 6'3 guy, Hart?
He did have double figures in rebounds.
Guess what? His 34-10 You watch the game, he didn't play well. I'm watching the game like going, you know, okay, he's got numbers. Because you know how I feel about, you know, if you don't watch the game and you look at the numbers, go, hey, 34 and 10, it's a great night. He didn't have a great game. Again, in game one, with the alleged MVP out there on the floor, he's the best, right? They gave up 27 offensive rebounds. I thought your 7-2 guy cleaned up the boards. Key moment in last, okay? How many times did the Sixers give up offensive rebounds last night? And at the most crucial moment, they gave up another offensive rebound because he's boxing out the wrong guy. But it's the officials that stole it from him. Well, how about your execution could have been a little bit better too there, buddy?
I was going to say, they did. They were really good in the glass until about midway through the fourth quarter, and then it seemed like game one started happening all over again.
Yeah.
They just cannot get a defensive board when they need it.
No. That's right. And that if you're the best player on the floor, which he is, your job is to clean up the boards. He's not cleaning up the boards. I mean, to get 10 rebounds, he should have had 20 in that game.
Which feed did you watch last night?
I watched the TNT feed.
Oh, so the Philadelphia feed. It wasn't that last offensive rebound, but it was one in the last 2 minutes. Ala just let out an exasperated gasp. I told him, right. Come on, man.
Exactly. That's the problem here. Hey, you can't have a you can't keep telling everybody that this is the best guy out there. You know, he's the NBA. I know he's hurt. Okay, I know he's hurt. But you're sitting there. You're watching a team score. I mean, this is Reggie Miller, 2024. They score 8 points in 27 seconds. Okay? Lowry misses a free throw. Okay? I mean, you're talking about an 81% free throw shooter. All right? And with Philadelphia, he's made right around 85. Been there, done that, won a championship, hadn't missed a free throw since April 2nd, right? But not only does he miss it, guess what his teammates don't do? They make no effort to get the rebound. None, okay? None. Brunson was able to get it with complete ease. So Brunson flies down the floor. He does get some resistance. Right? They then get into a bad switch. Right? There's a strip. Right? Ball's loose. And guess who makes a minimum effort to go after the ball? Nick Batum and Joel Embiid. So Dante DiVincenzo gets the ball. Okay? So all this is happening. Guess what? So they don't get the rebound on the Lowry miss. Make a good defensive play, get the loose ball. Two guys make a minimal effort, including the MVP. Again, he's not a good playoff performer. You got to get it through your heads. I said that last year. I said it the year before. All right? Over and over again. Right? This is not the regular season. All right? Brunson hits the shot in the corner, which, look, he gets a fortuitous bounce. There's no getting around it. Right? Fortuitous bounce, and it goes in. Okay. That happens. That is, for the Sixers, an unlucky break. There's no getting around it. All right? But then instead of just running on the floor and going, boom, timeout, like being emphatic about it, they throw the ball in. right? So Lowry, instead of calling a timeout, tries to force the ball in to beat the 5-second count. There's no question Maxey's held. Okay? But they're out of challenges because to keep Lowry in the game, they used him. Right? They get possession. DiVincenzo's there, fires up a three, misses it. And Hartenstein gets the rebound. Every Sixer at this point, where are they? They're all below the free throw line. So DiVincenzo's wide open, hits the three.
I count six different parts there where they could have made a play before defending.
Yes, DiVincenzo's
three.
Yes. Right?
This didn't help. It made me madder.
I know. I mean, did the officials make mistakes there? Yes. Who made more mistakes there? The Philadelphia 76ers made exponentially more mistakes than the officials did. And, of course, Embiid takes the shot at the end. It's a total brick, and that's it. Ananobi makes a couple of free throws, and that's it.
And it still probably wasn't the most excruciating loss of last night.
No, now you go to the Lakers. Lakers were up 20 last night. 20. Lose the game. LeBron complaining about what? Officiating. Okay. Are there some bad calls? Yes. But over here in the back, for three quarters, you're running a beautiful two-man game, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And guess what you didn't do in the fourth quarter? Especially in the final 6 minutes. You didn't run a two-man game with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. What are you doing? Stick with what's working. Again, you can blame everybody else. What about some of the stuff you didn't do? It's unbelievable. I mean, it's unreal. It's everybody else's fault, except the players never make mistakes. The players and the coaches all over the place, Darvin Ham, Davis, LeBron, they all made mistakes. And let's give, like, a little bit of credit to Michael Porter, by the way. I know he's involved in the controversy on the foul on D'Angelo Russell. I got that part. But in a family where your brother has been banned for life in a gambling scandal, one day, and a few days later you find out your other brother's been arrested, he's at least been able to keep his head focused on the game. And I give him a lot of credit for that.
That's probably the best part of his day at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's being out there is probably his sanctuary in all this. Right? So... yeah, a lot of problems, a lot of complaints about officiating, but geez, no complaints about execution. Interesting.
We have to go watch the film before we can comment on that.
My goodness. Maybe, you know, I know an official's call. Right now, look, Maxey's clearly held. There's no getting around it. I'm talking like when I mean held, his jersey is stretched out. Okay? They flat out missed it. So I completely get that. But the other parts, okay, the lack of effort, on a rebound and a missed free throw, the lack of effort on a loose ball by two of your players, a lack of effort on the offensive rebound. Okay? The officials didn't help you, but you lost the game. I mean, you lost.
Yes, they did.
Right? I mean, you can complain about the officials all you want. I just gave you six instances where you lost the game. One of them involved the officials grabbing Maxey's jersey. The other ones are all on you. And don't tell me at the end, well, see, they still have that timeout left, so they advanced the ball for the last play. That's not how you play that. You call the timeout and advance the ball in that spot because that's the spot that can win the game for you. Give me a great athlete who's smart every time. Oh, that's Jalen Brunson.
I need another day to admit that.
It's not the best day for you, I know. This has nothing to do with you. But it does set up Matt for the next half hour. This should be a lot of fun.
Yes, it does.
He's going to rip the officials to shreds. And the umpire that threw out his guy, Boone.
Oh, I have no doubt about that.
Oh.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
From mac and cheese massacres to baking soda volcanoes, Garvey's Flooring America makes it easy to shop for floors that can handle all of life's messy moments. This is Christy Garvey. When it comes to pet-proof, kid-proof, and waterproof floors, Garvey's has the best selection, up to 50% off. So whatever unexpected mess is next, your floors will be ready. Visit Garvey's today and save on the perfect floors for your messy moments.
Garvey's Carpet, Vinyl, and Tile.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This should be an explosive half hour. Because we're going to be joined by the man of the people. That's right, Matt Cotrillo. He will speak for average Americans everywhere. I know you're excited.
I can only imagine how wound up he's going to be.
His manager gets thrown out just for standing there. Which is really about what it comes down to, standing there.
I enjoy that. I watched that about 12 times yesterday just to watch his reaction when the umpire throws him out.
Years ago, Bruce Parkhill got a tee, and Penn State beat St. Joe's. And I've told this story in the air before. And he yelled out to the two guards. I think it may have been Tony Ward and Brian Allen. I think those are the two guys. He goes, "Come on, what are you guys thinking out there?" Simple. No swear words, nothing like that. "What are you guys out there? Just get your heads in the game." And he got teed up. He goes, "What? For what?" He says, "You can't talk to us like that." And he says, "I was talking to them."
I think the worst part about it is Hunter Wendelstedt doubled down after the game.
Sure.
And made it sound like Aaron Boone was supposed to control that whole side of the stadium.
Right. It's like it's his fault, right? A Yankee fan, yeah, I mean, look, first of all, the Yankee fan paid their money, all right, to be at the game. That's remember what I was talking yesterday about basketball officials? I said, look, the bottom line is that I know they're human. So, I mean, I got that part, okay? I got it. But you have to have a semblance and a feel for what's going on out there. Like, at least walk over, for example, and say, "Hey, look, like, settle down there." And if he says, "I didn't say anything," he says, "Well, I just heard it." He says, "No, I didn't say it." He says, "Somebody," right? And just, like, let it go. I realize that you're talking right now about a manager that now has developed a reputation. That is a problem. He has developed a rep. And that's the problem. The problem is that Boone has a reputation now. And that does not help. All right, we'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Yeah, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities, both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Start your journey at NILGameChangers.org. All right, Todd, buckle up. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, America's most bitter man, Matty Ice.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still talking to the officials trying to call a timeout. I'm sorry.
guess what? You're going to walk out in the court and call a timeout. And you call that timeout after the ball goes through the basket, like right away, walk out and go, boom, tell your team, boom, we're done. You don't do it the way he did it, all right? There are six different instances where the Sixers, of the six instances, five of them are the Sixers' fault and one's the official's fault.
I don't disagree with that. I will say, despite how embarrassing the officiating was last night, you are correct. Including the technical foul. Everyone was going off, including the NBC Sports Philly broadcast, about the technical foul against Embiid. I think that was warranted. Guess what? If you retaliate, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get burned. So, and that's what happened in that instance. He should know better by then. So I had no problem with the technical foul on Embiid, but the rest of the calls and the time, the whole timeout thing, it is fully flabbergasting me. And going back to what I talked about a couple weeks ago with Draymond Green, Adam Silver is quickly losing control of this league. He was once a great commissioner, but now the NBA is completely in a total free-for-all and in total chaos because these officials have no idea what they're doing and nobody is holding them accountable anymore. And when you hear it from your star player, league player in LeBron James, the way he handled himself during his own press conference last night at his loss, you know you've got a problem. And normally, I'm one of those guys that tells LeBron to just keep his mouth shut. But in this case, he is absolutely right. The NBA has a major problem. Well, one of several problems. One's the officiating. One is the way the league is just completely right now. It's not good. The NBA is in not good shape right now.
Yet, and I will agree with the officiating needs to be better. Look, the Maxey jersey is pulled out to, excuse the pun, the Max.
Yes.
It's pretty obvious. But again, it shouldn't be an issue. The coach, who by the way has won a championship, knows darn well in this league you got to walk out in the court and you call the timeout. You just don't stand there and meekly put your hands together like that. Like, excuse me, you got to be emphatic about it. And not only that, you call the timeout as soon as the ball goes through the basket because you want to advance the ball. You put the ball into the front court, which now instead of giving you, really, if you're throwing the ball in that situation after a made basket, you've essentially got about maybe 30 feet where you're comfortable. You can get the ball in, as opposed to 94 feet. Oh, and by the way, you're at the other end of the court. And if you get the ball in, they're going to foul you, which means the ball is further away from the basket. In other words, right, guess who blew the timeout? He did.
The only thing I'll say to it is the official was still right there when he's trying to call the timeout initially, but I don't disagree with that either, because even Jim Lynham on the Sixers postgame show last night even mentioned that they were a little disorganized. So I do give a little bit of blame to Nick Nurse, but I'm still putting most of the blame on the officiating because the guy's right there. If the guy's right there, it's not a different. It's a different story to me.
A little disorganized? A little? This is one of the problems.
Yeah. Listen, I've been a little disappointed on Nick Nurse's coaching, and not only from that, but I think it's more been the Sixers' defensive issues, which nobody's talking about. Everybody's talking about how he's a great game manager and he can draw up all these different plays, which we've seen this year. His adjustments are great. I've seen none of that on defense, not just in the playoffs, but all year. When I see constantly Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart getting wide open looks from beyond the net when they can't miss, period, was beyond me. And this was even more of a problem last night. Now listen, they're going to hit tough shots. They did last night, obviously. But when you're still constantly leaving them wide open and there's no adjustments from game one to game two, I'm sorry. That's a problem.
I actually agree with what they're doing with that. I actually agree with what Nick Nurse is doing. You have to make a gamble, excuse the phraseology, but you have to make a gamble as a coach. I need to go after the engine of the team, and that's Jalen Brunson. I've got to. So he's been running the extra guy at Brunson, who, by the way, has not shot the ball well and has really not played great because of what Nick Nurse has done. But part of that gamble is I've got to pick a guy to leave open. And Josh Hart has been open for a reason. He's a 31% three-point shooter for the season. Spent most of the year at 29. Right? That's the gamble he's taken to you know, you cut off the head of the snake. Well, that's what he's trying to do here with Brunson. He's trying to get Brunson completely off balance, which he has. But the gamble is also entailed that Hart has to do his part, and Hart's not. He's hit eight threes in two games. That's part of the strategy has been just fine. But excuse me, did the officials allow 27 offensive rebounds in game one?
We were definitely in that's something I'm definitely going to get to. There is no question about that. Let me tell you something. The last couple of seasons, you and I have talked about this. They have no depth behind Embiid.
Well, he's
Embiid's been hurt and not playing 100%, which doesn't help either. Now, listen, he put up 35, another double-double last night. I don't think there's much more he could have done last night.
Those are the two things that continue
to hurt this franchise year in and year out, and why they can't get over the hump.
He didn't play well last night. I watched the game. Like, that's one of the weakest 34 and 10s I've ever seen. Okay? The ball's on the floor, loose ball, Lowry late. Who doesn't go after the ball? Embiid. Really? Well, the ball's right there. He and Batum both had a shot, gave it a minimal effort, and he boxes out the wrong guy on the shot. He boxes out Hart. He doesn't box out Hartenstein. Really? You know, big-time players make big-time plays. Which big-time play did he make last night when they needed it?
I mean, for me, it might have been a quiet 35, but he's not. I don't think he's the reason that they lost last night. The reason why they lost last night is the same two problems that they've had all year. Well, three, I should say. For pretty much this entire process Embiid era is a non-100% Joel Embiid. You can call it how you see it. Then there's no depth behind him. There's no depth, period, bench period. And it still surprises me to this day that the Sixers don't know how to build a team around this guy. You surround him with shooting, shooting, and more shooting. I've said this year in and year out, and they still can't do it. Buddy Hield seemed like a pretty good play, but you guess what? I wanted guys that were on the other side of the court, like OG Anunoby and Bogdanovich. Those two guys, those are the guys that the Sixers need to have. Guys that can be difference makers, but don't necessarily have to be the end-all, be-all, can come off the bench or maybe be a four or five starter. And the Sixers have never, ever done that, and I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. And until they do that, this franchise is going nowhere, and this is why it's coming to a point where this franchise, to me, is becoming more of a disgrace by the minute.
Well, you weren't with Dick Girardi and me when we were Dick and I, when they made the Buddy Hield trade. Dick and I looked at it, we both started laughing. It says, and Sixer fans think that's going to be the solution. We just laughed. We knew.
I thought Daryl Morey had a dreadful trade deadline. There's no question. I thought Buddy Hield was a decent trade, but it was never going to put the Sixers over the top. Not at all. Guys like Anunoby and Bogdanovich and their other people out there, they were going to make the difference. For whatever reason, the Sixers front office, no matter who they've had in there, whether it's Sam Hinkie, whether it's Daryl Morey, whether it was Brian Colangelo, haven't been able to get that through their head, and I can't explain it. It's really not that difficult. You need depth. You need other guys. You need to surround your stars with shooting. You need depth. You need to be able to rebound. The Sixers have never had that, and it's really killing them this series. They are not going to win a game in the series. They're going to get swept, and like I said, I'm becoming apathetic now. I've already become apathetic with the Flyers. I'm getting to be that way with the Sixers because I can't take it anymore. Can't take it anymore when it's the same thing year in and year out that this franchise can't figure out.
I asked the suit where he was yesterday, and he said he was at the Yankees game behind the dugout.
Oh, that's who I had to talk to, okay? Because that's where we're going next. And you know what? That's another league. Now, Rob Manfred has been a terrible commissioner from the get-go, but that's another league where you've got umpires who have no idea what they're doing, don't even know what a strike is at this point, don't even know what the strike zone is, and now, when all of a sudden we give them all this entitlement in the world, they feel like they have all this entitlement in the world just to throw out whoever they want, whenever they want, because they don't want to hear it when they're doing a terrible job at doing their job, and this is what we come down to, and now we don't hold, and we still don't hold anybody accountable. It's the same thing. Everybody needs to be held accountable when it comes to officiating. These commissioners, all in all four major sports, and also in the NCAA, what we talked about before, they all need to grow a pair of galoons and put their foot down and make something happen and make some radical changes to officiating, because it's hurting all four sports and it's hurting college sports.
Well, I said to the suit, I said, did you say anything? He said, I may have blurted something out.
I mean, not only that, he was talking to, it's one thing if he and Aaron Brown didn't exchange any words beforehand, before that happened. But it's another thing when they just did, so you know what his voice sounds like. And I heard it through the hot mics on the A's broadcast. And that's, you don't hear Aaron Boone's voice after the initial conversation that they have. So this guy ought to get his head examined.
I know. Look, I mean, I'm kidding about it because it really, it's absurd. It's absurd. And, you know, when you're an official, you have, obviously, major responsibility. And the last thing you want is, of course, to be the subject of what's going on out there. You don't want that. But you also have to have the ability to, like, hey, guys, like, tune out what's around you. I'll give you an example. And this happened a year ago. And Penn State's playing Northwestern. And before the game, I saw Kelly Pfeiffer. And I called Kelly over. And Kelly, I said, hey, Kelly, I just want to tell you something. You know, Kelly always comes over anyway. I just like waved at him and he came over. And I said, how you handled the Iowa game, which was his previous game, I said, I've got to give you all the credit in the world. That was the one where Fran McCaffrey went over and was staring down Kelly Pfeiffer after yelling at him, stared him down while standing at the foul line, and Kelly did nothing. He didn't tee him. He didn't affect the game or anything like that. And Kelly's a young official who's now advancing in the NCAA tournament. Does he make mistakes? Yes. Do I make mistakes? Sure. All right. Do the players make mistakes? They don't want to admit it, but yes. All right. I mean, Embiid didn't admit any mistakes last night. It was all the officials. It had nothing to do with the fact that he missed the wrong box out and he didn't go after a loose ball. And, you know, there's a lot of things he didn't do. And also was really short on the last shot, which Larry Bird would have made. That's the kind of temperament you need to have. You need to have a good temperament when you do it. That's part of the job. Wendelstadt tosses him out. Meanwhile, the suit got up and got a beer. Figured his work was done for the day.
Well, now I know who the culprit is. Now I'll take care of that myself.
I feel like your blood pressure, which was probably 200 over 140 when we started, is at least down to 100 over 60 now.
I think we're getting to that point. I mean, I've been waiting to make this call since about 10:30 last night when it was at that level, and I think we're a little bit better now. Yes, so I thank you.
Do you still have that supply of paper bags I sent you?
Oh, I still got plenty. I'm perfectly loaded. I will let you know when I need more.
Unfortunately, John Paul took them and ripped up a whole bunch.